Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll read from, we stopped off last time I was here in verse number 3. I want to begin in verse number 4, and I'm going to try to get down to verse number 9 this morning. But first, I want you to again get an idea of where we are, lay some foundation for you. In chapter number 1, we see the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter number 1, how he was so much better than the prophets, so much better than the angels. We saw how he's superior to all these people. Well, in chapter number 2, we go from the exaltation of Christ to the humiliation of Christ. We're going to see he's made a little lower, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it's amazing that Christ became man, and when he did, he became lower than the angels. He humbled himself. He left the glories of heaven, and he tabernacled in this flesh, and that's what it means when he was made lower than the angels. It does not mean he was inferior. No, he's God, very God. So when you read that he's made lower than the angels, he came and he put on this robe of flesh. Our Lord took upon himself that humanity. While you're there in Hebrews, let me read to you Philippians chapter number 2. We'll put all of this in context. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see in chapter number 1 the exaltation. Chapter number 2, we're going to see the humiliation. In other words, he came down, he humbled himself, and dwelt among men. What a thought. So we're going to find two things in our study in the book of Hebrews. Number 1, that Jesus reveals God to mankind. Jesus reveals God to mankind. And then number 2, we're going to find that Jesus represents mankind to God. He's our high priest now. So these are the two main points that we're going to find in the book of Hebrews, that God, that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, reveals God to man. And then we see that Jesus Christ reveals man or represents man to God. So let me read, begin in verse number 1, just get the background. We'll read through verse number 9. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word were spoken by angels was steadfast, and by the way it was, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? We talked about this last time I was in the pulpit. We talked about those three verses. But the thoughts continues on. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put under subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he hath put in subjection under him, he let nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Are y'all following? You already lost. Okay. Verse number 9 is all going to come together this morning, I promise you. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for, what's that next word? Every man, okay? For every man. So, again, when you get this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of people wondering, what in the world is this, what are they saying here? Well, let's start in verse number 4, where it says, God also bearing them witness. I want you to, before we go any farther, I want you to notice the word them. Them is very important in the context of the passage of what I'm fixing to show you this morning. You have to know who them is, or them are. Should I say them are? Yeah. Who them are. Who is them? Who's he referring to? Who's the them? When he says, also bearing them witness, who is them? Who is he writing to? Look in the chapter. What is that name? Hebrews. He's writing to the Jewish people. It's very important now. They're saved people, Jewish people who are saved. And we already know the context. We introduced this a month or two ago, where these Jewish people were under persecution, heavy persecution. And many of them were leaving the church. They're going back into temple worship. They're sacrificing little lambs and going back. And when we get to Hebrews chapter 6, we'll see that and all. And they were going back. And the Apostle Paul wrote to these Hebrew Christians and said, listen, you stay. Let us go on. And so he's writing to them. Now, this does not mean it does not apply to us. Are you following? We still learn principles and all from Scripture. But I want you to have this in context because it's very important when we read the next phrase. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. Now, notice the word both. Now, I really did a lot of study this week on that. Because most of you know, I went to the beach this week and had a great time, except for the red tide. Have y'all ever experienced that? It's not fun. But anyway, we were at the beach, and I got to just be able, by the way, you can tell I didn't lay out in the sun. I didn't get sun, but I'm not even red-faced. I'm not that kind that just lays out. I don't want to meander here. But I had time to study this about signs and wonders and how many times in Scripture it puts that together. Y'all have heard that often, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. And the Old Testament with Pharaoh and Moses and all, often it would talk about signs and wonders where all those plagues would come down. You remember? Who was that dealing with? The Hebrew people, all right? Even though it affected the Egyptians, he was rescuing the Hebrew people. The signs and wonders. When you see these things about signs and wonders, Old Testament and New Testament, is predominantly mentioning dealing with the Jewish people. It's very important to understand that. We as Gentiles, and I'm not going to get off the thing, we're not looking for signs. We're not looking for wonders. Those things are for the Jewish people. We'll get in that in just a minute, all right? Have I lost y'all already? Okay, God does not waste words. He does not use idle words, nor does he put any unnecessary words in Scripture to fill up space. So when we see that phrase, signs and wonders, we see that they're not the same. We think of them as the same thing, but they're not. They're two different, completely different words. The word sign literally means miracles by which God authenticates the man sent by him. Let me repeat that. The word signs, where you find it in the Old Testament or New Testament, it's miracles by which God authenticates the man that was sent by him. Example, Moses. Moses come to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, who are you? God sent me. Let my people go. I'm not going to let your people go. So because of the signs and wonders, the signs authenticated Moses' message to Pharaoh. Are you following? The wonders are the miracles that were performed by them. The signs authenticated the man's messages from God, where the wonders were actually the miracles that were performed. You see the difference? Even though it's kind of like love and marriage, hand in hand, they go together, but they're not the same.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.